Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It has been a long time since the Mets and the Yankees have won games.
It's kind of crazy. The Yankees won a game 1-0 against the Kansas City Royals. That's the last time they won. The Mets won a game that they came very close to imploding and blowing against the Washington Nationals on a weekday afternoon. That's the last time they won a game. It has been 9 consecutive Mets and Yankee games that have resulted in losses. And hopefully that changes tonight. The Mets playing game 2 up in Atlanta. The Yankees playing game 3 against the Angels. There was a report earlier today that turned out to not be true, that the Yankees had a players-only meeting. Aaron Boone has said that did not happen. And for whatever reason, that's concerning Sean Morash. That would have made you feel better if there was a players meeting?
Well,
why?
I just want to be clear. It's not like I left last night thinking this team needs a players-only meeting, but when I did see the report a couple hours ago, my immediate reaction was, there you go, Judge.
What do you think it would have accomplished?
All right. Obviously, this is where I raise my hand. I've never been in a locker room. But at least it would just be an acknowledgement to me that the leaders on this team know that this isn't good enough right now. Let's calm the waters. Let's bring everybody in. Just from an outside far. Who knows what could have been said in there, whatever. It's just an acknowledgement to me, publicly, that the players see what the fans are seeing, that this is not right, and this is not what the Yankees have been. Nothing more, nothing less. And when I saw the report, my immediate reaction was, that is Judge being a captain, gathering the troops. And now to hear it's not, and it's basically the furthest thing from the truth, I don't think it's a big deal that it's not.
Yeah.
But I got to be fair that I was pumped up to see that they did.
Right.
That's the way I'm saying.
I would argue that by having a team meeting, you're basically saying something's wrong. And we all know, because it's baseball, there's nothing actually wrong. They're just going through a bad stretch.
Well, what if I gave you the stat? Since Major League Baseball began, there has been one team in Major League Baseball history to win a World Series in a season they were shut out 3 straight games. The 1913 Philadelphia A's. Anomaly? Maybe, but you can't say nothing's wrong. Something is broken now.
What I would tell you about that, and I love a stat like that, so thank you for that.
That is a good one.
This is what makes what the Yankees are going through really weird. Like, I'm a big, hey, that's baseball, Susan kind of guy. Like, that's baseball. The Mets have lost 4 in a row. That's baseball. The Yankees have lost 5 in a row. That's baseball. What's very unique to what's happening is the absolute ineptitude of their offense, that it is a historical slump that they're going through. If you're telling me, yeah, they went through a stretch of 6 games and not scoring a lot of runs, okay, it happens. But we are entering a streak that's kind of in the annals of Yankee history in terms of ineptitude, in terms of scoring runs. Now, does it mean the Yankees can't win a World Series because they've been shut out 3 games in a row? Absolutely not. Like, more teams make the playoffs than they did in 1913. So there are going to be other teams making, like, for example, in 1913, only one team was making the playoffs in the American League. Team with the best record, that was it. So you're already changing that discussion by saying there are numerous teams that wouldn't be as good that make the postseason. But it is alarming that this slump is reaching epic proportions.
Right.
Proportions we haven't seen in the history of the franchise.
And you just wonder where the relief comes from. And the other thing, I remember having this conversation about Aaron Boone in 2022. because he made it seem like, oh, everything is fine. Everything will be all right. I know we went through this horrible slump at the end of the season, but it'll be fine. But then you get to the postseason, and you still have that mentality that everything's going to be fine, and it's not actually fine. It's too late to correct it, right? It's too late to change course. It's too late to have a players-only meeting and get guys back on track. And so the one thing you worry about after this 0-5 stretch by the Yankees and this ineptitude in scoring runs is that they're thinking it's okay, that we're going to be fine. Sometimes you're not fine.
But are they fine? They still lead the American League in runs scored.
No, they're not fine.
They're not fine. So this six-game sample size is enough to say it's not fine.
Well, there's too many question marks. Judge isn't a question mark. I think probably Goldschmidt is not right now a question mark. But kind of everybody else, you just have a little bit of a question mark about. I know Bellinger has been better over the last month or so, but he still is his first year here in New York as a Yankee, where the pressure of being the best team in the division and the history, all that stuff, we don't know how it's going to affect or move or not do anything to him. And so there's Ben Rice is young, Giancarlo Stanton is injury prone, the Martian is now leading all. Like, it's just too many question marks to say, yeah, we'll figure it out, we're fine, we've been here before, because maybe some of them have. But not all, very few of them have been here. You know what I mean? Mm. And so I think the status quo of we're okay, it can get you in trouble if it doesn't get turned around quickly. That's what I worry about.
If they score 10 runs tonight against the Angels, and they could,
then you're like, fine, we're good.
Will you feel that way tomorrow? Like, all right, we're good.
We're good.
All right.
But how do we know this five-game scoreless stretch doesn't turn into eight? Right? Or go to 12.
Last night was the humbling one. Like, they beat the Royals 1-0 on Thursday. Mm-hmm. They didn't score much in the Boston series. They got shut out on Monday.
Right.
I sat down last night prepared to see the Yankee offense
explode.
And maybe it's just a bias against Kyle Hendricks. I just don't think he's any good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting, to see him explode. When I'm watching this game and it's 0-0-0, and they're not even threatening.
No.
Like, it's not like they had all these golden opportunities. They just weren't doing anything against Kyle Hendricks. I found myself in the seventh inning being like, wow, mm-hmm. That's crazy. I mean, last night they had four hits. They only had three at-bats with runners in scoring position. It was a really just lifeless, pathetic offensive performance. Because, again, they're not being shut down by great pitching.
No.
It's not like they're running into Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax.
And so what happens when they do start facing some great pitching?
Well, that's baseball. Maybe they'll hit them. That's usually the way it works.
That's why tonight's important. I mean, Kohikowitz?
You're not even close to saying his name right.
Can I go back to calling him Kohikowitz?
No, because that's not his name.
He's got a 5.53 ERA, worst in the American League. He's been dreadful. If there was ever a time to get the offense right, it's tonight. Like, it is okay to panic tonight if this team doesn't score runs.
All right. Not long-term prediction, short-term prediction. How many runs do the New York Yankees score tonight? I'd like to go first. My answer is nine.
Nine
runs tonight. Tiki?
Four.
Four? Sean Morash?
Two in the ninth inning.
Is it enough to win, or is it like lame runs?
They walk off and win 2-1 tonight.
Okay. And Tommy Lugia, how many runs?
13.
Yeah, you're on my page.
Yeah, 100%. They're scoring runs. By the way, is there any chance that they had a team meeting, Teak, and they just don't want to admit it? And I only say that because there's a quote here from Gary Phillips, who covers the team for the Daily News. This is from Cody Bellinger. Quote, it was just post-game chatter.
Here's the thing.
Before
you continue, here's what I want you to do, because I didn't do this. This is my fault. Can you go pull Cody at Bellinger's postgame, listen to it, cut it, and play for us? And we'll let you know what he said. So, because I listened to it before the show. It was like 5 minutes before the show. And it didn't sound like there was a players-only meeting, but that's where this story came from.
Right. To your point, Tommy, I think postgame chatter is in the clubhouse just talking. It's not necessarily coaches get out. This is just players-only. This is just us. We're going to get it right. Like, I don't think it was that.
Is there a reason to hide a players-only meeting, even if there was?
No.
No.
Like I said the first time we talked about this, who cares?
No, I understand.
Right? It could do great things. It could do nothing. Some guys are going to care. Some of them won't. Like, it doesn't even matter.
Listen to Cody post-game, Sean. Let us know when you have it. Because that's where this whole thing came from. And we'll hear it from the horse's mouth. Not that he looks like a horse. I think he's a good-looking guy. He just looks like he's high all the time. That's to do with Cody Bellinger, which I think is cool. I'm not, like, knocking him. He's got a very, like, what's up, man?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Like his head's bobbing, his eyes are all over the place. I like Cody Bellinger. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Evan, that was a brutal loss, but the Mets are going to turn it around tonight, and Lindor has sick numbers against Sale, so I'm looking for a big game.
He's the one guy. If you look at career numbers against Chris Sale, yeah. Francisco Lindor's got great success against Chris Sale, so we'll see if he picks it up tonight.
Let's hope. I've been dying to ask Tiki this. Well, so, Evan, yesterday you made a proclamation that you were a great bunter, correct?
Yes, I was. Very good in high school.
Okay, so this I can't get this image out of my mind, Evan. So now we're talking about Mets and Yankees and they're bad situational. They can't bunt. So, Evan, perhaps you could help the teams with your knowledge. And I wanted to ask Tiki, there are two types of bunters, right? There's that one bunter who squares up really early.
Yeah.
And shows that what's going to happen is the other bunter who waits to the last minute, then bunts. Which do you think Evan Roberts is?
He was the, I think he was the square early bunter.
Hmm.
I'm going to guess square Evan, early bunter.
You want the answer to that? What's your, what's your guess, Chris? You got a guess?
Because you're technical like that. That's like calculated. Like yeah. One.
Yeah,
two,
I can
three,
see Evan being
bunt.
Like, two, like right? I'm going to see get you doing that. Down.
So I'm going to give you a very interesting answer to this.
Yeah.
If I was literally laying a bunt down, like if my plot was I'm getting a bunt down, I would not square immediately. I'd surprise them. Mm. When I would square early, that was me trying to distract the pitcher to then pull it back and take a pitch.
Uh-huh.
So that's the code to getting Evan out. Actually, the code was easy. Throw strikes, I'll miss. But the other code was, if I'm showing you bunt, I'm not bunting.
Mm.
If I'm not showing you bunt,
surprised.
There's a really good chance I'm going to surprise you and try to get
one
down.
Were you fast enough to beat it out?
See, Teak, this was the problem. The problem was, and it's kind of a contradiction,
right.
Really good bunter, slowest man in America. So I would get a lot of really good bunts down and be thrown out by a mile.
Right.
That was my problem. I was probably better off just sacrificing because I get the bunt down and I advance the runner.
Right.
But I wasn't going to get myself there because you need a sundial to time how long it would take me to get from home to first base.
I liked bunting when I played baseball. I only did it for a couple of years, but I liked bunting.
Isn't it fun?
It was great because I knew I was going to be safe.
Well, you were fast.
That's what I mean. So yeah. I knew if as long as I got it down the third baseline, I was going to be safe.
Yeah.
Because the pitcher's not making the play, and the third baseman is not sidearm scooping it and getting me out.
And that's the other problem with someone fast like you, and they know you're fast. They got to rush everything.
Yes.
And if they're rushing everything, it's likelier they're going to screw up.
Right.
With me, they know, take your time. Like, don't worry. Right. Just pick up the baseball, get a cup of coffee, look at the girl sitting in the front row, and then throw to first base and nail me. But yeah, anyhow, Francisco Lindor, 14 for 34 against Chris Sale. That's a .412 batting average with two home runs and eight RBIs. That's the good news. The bad news is everybody else against Chris Sale, terrible. They do not have good numbers against Chris, including Juan Soto, who's 1 for 7 with 6 strikeouts. How about that?
Wow.
1 for 7 with 6 strikeouts. The one hit, though, was a home run. So that's Juan Soto's career numbers against Chris Sale. And yes, Chris Sale on the mound tonight. The Braves actually pushed him back a few days to give him extra rest and to face the New York Mets. So Mets against Chris Sale tonight with Paul Blackburn on the mound. Not going to be easy. John and Massbeth. Hey, John.
How's it going? Before I make my Yankees point, Yankees ran about needing another bat to protect Judge. Let me just point out real quick. Little jab at the Mets real quick, you know. Because what's a phone call for me with that little jab at the Mets? They're since May 14th, they're 6-12 against teams other than the Rockies, Nationals, and White Sox. So just want to point that out there.
How'd they do against the Dodgers, though? Did they do okay against them?
Listen, I said 6-12 against teams other than the Nationals, Rockies, and White Sox.
No, I understand that. But in the middle of that, they played the Dodgers. How'd they do against them? And how'd you do against them?
How'd they do against Yamamoto and Otani and Snell and Glasnow? They didn't even face them.
Well, you know what's great? You don't face guys on the injured list. If you're on the injured list, you know what you do?
Well, actually, Yamamoto wasn't on the injured list, but,
I'm not talking about Yamamoto.
The Yankees crush him, by the way. You're welcome.
Do you get a banner for that? Does that go up at Yankee Stadium?
No. I mean, you get banners for wild card teams if you're the Mets, I saw. Right?
Damn it! I set you up for that! I set you up for that! Damn it!
Yes, you did. Anyways, listen, the Yankees, we've seen this over and over again. We need a bat right next to Judge that is a needle mover. A needle mover. It could have been Bryce Harper. Could have been Freeman. Could have been Corey Seager. Could have been Matt Olson.
So who do you want now, John? Who do you want now, John?
It was, you know, there's nobody out there in the trade market, but right. This offseason, it has to be Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, but wait. That's fine. I'm not even going to disagree with you. I want to get back to your earlier point because I don't normally think this way, but I do think this way for now. I think the determination on how far the Yankees go, I think will be determined by what Brian Cashman does prior to July 31st.
Right. You talked about this yesterday. You're so right.
I am learning the lessons of not just the last few champions. The Dodgers from a year ago, hello Tommy Edman, hello Jack Flaherty. How about the Rangers? Not a bat, but just think big move. The Texas Rangers acquired Jordan Montgomery before the trade deadline. Do they win the World Series if they don't trade for Jordan Montgomery?
No.
In 2021, when the Braves miraculously won the World Series, they traded for Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario and Jock Peterson and Adam Duvall, who all made major impacts on the Braves' chances. I look at this Yankee team, very good team, by the way. It's not like they're completely flawed all over the place. But I do think the bat that they add, and I do think they'll add a bat. And if they don't, different discussion. I think that is going to really determine how far things go. Now, how big does the bat have to be? Here's the complicated part. Who's available? Like, we had a caller say this 2 weeks ago, and I forget the caller's name because I put him over right now.
Yeah.
The team we all need to watch around Major League Baseball and root and root and root for them to lose is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are a gold mine of acquirable players,
right.
Whether it's Eugenio Suarez, whether it's Ketel Marte, whether it's Zach Gallen, whether it's Merrill Kelly. Take a pick. You want a pitcher? Diamondbacks have it. You want a bat? Diamondbacks have it. Like, that's the talented team I look at and say, if they could fall out of it and start selling guys off, Suarez is on your fantasy team, right, Tommy?
Sure is.
Yeah.
How good would he be to look for the Yankees right now?
He's tremendous. A lot of power. Well, big righty hitter.
Third base.
Yeah. Third base.
They're just sitting right where you don't want them to be.
I know.
If they sit where they are for the next month, I don't know if they'll do anything.
No, you're right, because think about it. 2 years ago, they're in the World Series. Last year, they missed the playoffs on the day after the season ended.
Right.
But I do think that Cashman's pull, and this applies to the Mets too, but let's just focus on the Yankees right now. What Cashman does before July 31st is going to be so important. It may be that game-changing moment.
Right.
So the question is, who's going to be available, and are they able to pull the trigger? But don't tell me about Kyle Tucker. That's next year. Why are we talking about next year?
Boy, I didn't realize that John already waved the white flag, threw in the towel. He's worried about the offseason. It's not even the All-Star break. This is a little early, even for Yankee fans, worrying about next season and their new acquisition. Jeez.
Can't be doing that.
Yeah.
We can't be thinking about that. We got to think about right now. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of teams that are in the race.
Is this, I'm just joining us because we listen to Bellinger. Buster only apparently has reported now a couple hours ago on TV that the Yankees could be pursuing Eugenio Suarez to play third base.
I didn't even see that report. Yeah.
Is that where you guys are getting this? Okay.
No,
we're not, but it's funny. I was literally just looking at it.
That's great. No, I was referring to a caller we had 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Who called up and said the Diamondbacks have a treasure trove of players that the Mets and the Yankees could go after.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so right about that. Suarez is one of the many guys we talked about, but the other guys I talked about, and I'm not sure if he'll be available, but the guy I would really want for you guys is Ketel Marte.
Right.
Now, would they deal him because he signed long-term? Probably not. But Gallen and Kelly are free agents at the end of the year. Suarez, too. So I don't even know. So what's the report from Buster Olney, then? That if they fall out of it, they're going
to
trade him?
If the Diamondbacks decide to sell, keep an eye on the Yankees for Eugenio Suarez.
That just makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not really breaking news, but again, I'm jumping in. I was like, oh, is he talking about the Olney report?
I don't even know about
that
report.
We were just talking about the Diamondbacks being right at 500, and if they sit like this for another month, they're probably not going to do anything because they think they have a shot. They're only 8 games back.
That's the problem. Right. But they do have a lot of guys, like on the pitching end of things, too, with Gallen and Kelly, who are just, they're valuable. Like, those are valuable pieces. Anyhow, let's hear from Cody Bellinger. You got it?
Yeah, so just to set this up, there is about 4 minutes of Cody Bellinger postgame. I've boiled down 2 minutes to where he mentions, and I'll let you guys hear this, conversations and a specific type of meeting. So I'll let you guys decipher, and we'll just discuss from there.
It's always a certain point where, you know, it's not necessarily going your way, and you feel it, and you kind of feel this extra pressure to get the job done. You know, at the end of the day, it's the same game, and you know, we had good conversations. We're gonna have good conversations. We're gonna keep going, and we're gonna keep playing for each other, and you know, get out of this thing.
What are those conversations? How do you guys snap out of this?
You know, I think we got a bunch of young guys. We also got a bunch of guys with a lot of time, and you know, I think for me, it's just having good quality conversations and just remembering who we are and continuing to stick with our approach and continuing, you know, working hard and working on the right things and, you know, ultimately just playing our best baseball.
When you're not scoring at all, does that get in your head? This is 3 shutouts in a row. I know teams go through scoring slumps, but to not score 3 in a row when you're got the best average, most runs, most home runs, does that start to get in your head?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been a wild 3 games. I think it's been very frustrating, and you know, ultimately we're gonna come in tomorrow, and you know, we're gonna have the hitters meeting. We're gonna chat about what we can do better. Obviously, we're not getting the job done, and
hitters,
and we're gonna file
a call
to get the job done tomorrow and get a W.
You know,
we can
figure
it out. Pitchers have been pitching really well.
Evan,
so
I feel like that's what he's talking about, though.
Yeah,
like when he says we're having conversations, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Hitters meeting.
Yeah,
we're not talking about a private meeting with the players.
This is the problem, I think, with aggregating sometimes. Mm. He never said there was a players-only meeting. He said players talked about things after the game, which could be Cody screaming over to judges by his locker, hey, yeah, we got to be a little careful next time, or whatever the hell they're saying to each other.
And he talks about the older guys talking to the young guys.
Yeah.
He mentions that.
And their hitters meetings.
And, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Evan, you know this, I believe that was Randy Miller that asked that question that led to the hitters meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that just feels like a wild leap to say that's a players-only meeting.
Yeah, there was no evidence of a players-only meeting. So for some reason, that really took hold over the last few hours. But that's where this all came from Cody Bellinger speaking. And it just sounds like the Yankees, as a team, has good communication. They talk to each other a lot. And that's it. Now, to Tiki's point, I mostly agree with you. What the hell's the difference if you have a players only meeting or not?
Right.
Like, I don't know if that matters. The one last year with the Mets turned into that of legends. And if you listen back to our show a year ago, the day that happened, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you and I kind of said the same thing, which is great, have a meeting. What the hell's that going to do?
Exactly.
If they start winning, great.
Right.
Now, they did start winning, but I don't know if it was necessarily connected to the meeting.
No, I think it was just the guys who were supposed to be hitting, primarily Lindor, took off.
Yes.
And so did the rest of the team. So to me, it was maybe the meeting, maybe the shock of throwing his glove and getting
Jorge Lopez.
Throwing his glove and getting DFA'd. Maybe that was enough.
Mm.
Right? Just like, oh crap. Like, we thought we were gonna be good this year and now this guy's gone. So it's like this sudden change shocks everybody.
Right.
And so maybe that's what it was.
So the Yankees need to make a sudden change. They got to DFA somebody?
Maybe.
Who do you want to DFA, Sean?
Pablo Reyes
doesn't count 3 days ago.
Peraza.
Oswald Peraza.
Let's get Vivas back up here.
They did dump
Scott Efros already.
Those kinds of moves don't really do anything.
You want a big DFA.
It's got to be.
DJ LeMahieu?
No.
Can't do that. He's too valuable.
Unfortunately.
Can't do that.
There isn't one.
Nah, there really isn't. Now, unfortunately, you just have to actually start hitting. That's what you need to do. Matt's in Mayapak. Hey, Matt.
What's going on, Evan and Tiki? How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
So I'm just calling just to make a real quick point. The last caller kind of made a point about the banners, and I was just curious, like, as a Met fan for you guys, for you and Tommy, like, does that bother you that they put up banners for wild card wins? Like, I'm not trying to troll. I'm being genuinely, like,
you know,
asking that question.
I'm glad you asked that question because I had this discussion with my son a couple of weeks ago. We were sitting at Citi Field. We were looking at the banners. And believe it or not, Jet even said, do the Yankees put up those banners too? To which I said, the Yankees only put up championship banners. To which he said, why? And I said, because the Yankees have won so many freaking World Series. Now, I quickly pointed out, most of those World Series, in fact, all of them, were before he was born. A lot of them were before I were born. Many of them were before integration. So I just wanted to point out, yes, they have a lot of championships. They do. They have the most in sports. But context matters. With that said, I actually do like the wild card banner being up there. I gave this a lot of thought, but there are rules that I have to this.
Okay.
Number one, the wild card banner needs to be one banner, okay? You win a pennant, it should have its own banner. You win even a division, you should have its own banner. But for the wild card, it needs to be stuck on one banner, which they do. That's caveat number one. Caveat number two, you need to advance out of the wild card round to put the banner up. Mm. So 2022, 2016, but 1999, I'm damn proud. 2000, we got to the World Series. I'm damn proud. Last year, 2024, got to the NLCS. I am proud. So I've got my wild card banner rules.
Right.
I would keep it on one banner, which they do, and I would X-nay on the getting knocked out in the first round A.
You don't want the participation banner.
Correct.
I would agree with that.
Thank you. You agree with me, positive Tommy?
I don't.
Which part?
Like the participation banner?
I don't want a banner. If you want to acknowledge it somewhere in the park, that's fine. I would not put a banner up, though, for it.
Unless last year?
They got to win the World Series, then we can talk. And then you could maybe put up the road to get there. Like I said, you could put it somewhere in Citi Field where it acknowledges it, maybe a photo in the hallways or something that, you know, commemorates the season and the team. But a banner for it, I don't like it.
Wow.
I don't like it.
What happened to positive Tommy?
It's not about being positive. It's about understanding, like, certain things are for banners, and I'm surprised, and I'll answer, but I'm surprised because you're very strict on the retired numbers, mm-hmm. but for this, you're a little looser.
Yeah, because I think making the postseason and advancing in some way is a really big accomplishment.
I agree.
And Winning a division championship for this franchise is a huge accomplishment.
But see, that's the part that I don't
I've seen two of them in my
entire
life. I know,
but I don't like it for this franchise. I don't like that. I don't like the idea of holding yourself to low standards. For this franchise, the Yankees don't have enough room for banners.
But here's the problem. It's not low standards. It's actually regular standards. The Yankees are on another level. And if we compare ourselves to the Yankees, that's also not fair to the history of the Mets. The Yankees have, and you could save it, you could tape it, you could do whatever you want with it. They have the greatest history in all sports. Mm-hmm. Like, I acknowledge that. I do. The Yankees have such a great history. Do you know what they did this year that no one else does?
No.
They won the pennant, and they didn't acknowledge it on opening day. They didn't raise a banner. That's funny. They won the pennant. They went to the World Series. The Mets gave away rings when they got to the World Series. Like, literally, give away pennant rings. You should appreciate this. You went to a Super Bowl. It's a damn big accomplishment.
Right.
The Yankees are so successful, or arrogant, however you want to phrase it, that they did not even, unless I missed it, they didn't even acknowledge
winning the pennant. Well, the only acknowledgement that we got was Giancarlo Stanton saying, you better not wear those AL rings.
And that's not an acknowledgement.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different world. I don't think we should compare ourselves because they do have an incredible history.
I just don't like second and third place trophies. And you're even going further down with that stuff.
Well, it's not a trophy. It's recognizing an accomplishment.
Right, but you could recognize it somewhere else where it's not in broad daylight that a young Jet would then ask. Because how many other Jets are out there going, why don't the Yankees do this? So or do why don't think, the Celtics do that?
So you think the Giants should not acknowledge winning the NFC Championship in 2000?
They should acknowledge it, but I don't think it should be necessarily... You have to separate things. That's all I'm saying.
Very disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful. Mm. To who? Tiki?
They got to the Super Bowl.
Tiki, cover your ears. Earmuffs. They got to the Super Bowl. That's great.
But it is great. I think there should be a banner that says it.
There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that.
Thank you.
It's like acknowledging getting to the World Series. You would acknowledge that.
By the way, Cat got your tongue over there, Mr. Giant? No. You're not going to say anything? That you don't put the Giants in the same category football-wise as the Yankees?
I've only said this 14 times in 2 years here time. That the 2000 Giants are single-handedly my favorite sports team of all time. So I think they should be acknowledged.
All right, so
they
on the
won
bad
a NFC Championship game 41-0.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be acknowledged.
They weren't the Yankees beating the Guardians in the American League Championship Series.
Plus, this isn't fair to the Knicks. Can you imagine all the banners we have to take down? They only have two left.
Yeah. And they snuck a division champions banner on
sure,
there, too.
They sure did.
Well, what the Knicks did... that's
really?
Here's what they did that's actually really pathetic.
A division?
Not only did they sneak Here's a division. Longer. Not only did they sneak a division.
I can barely tell you who's in their division.
The Knicks added it after the fact. So, like, when the Nets won their first Atlantic division, they put a banner up right away. Right away. That banner went up. Also, Eastern Conference Finals, because it happened in the same year. Eastern Conference Championship. So they put the banners up right away. Want to mock it, fine. It went up right away. The Knicks waited years and then retroactively added division championship banners because they realized they didn't have enough banners. That's bad. Even the Mets didn't do that. Mets won a wild card. They put that banner up right away. Hey, wild card.
One more thing. It's acknowledging it with a banner, but I believe I was there on opening day. They announced the Yankees in the intros as your American League champion New York Yankees. Is that acknowledging
it? I mean raising a flag.
Permanently acknowledging.
Yeah, like an affirm, like flag-raising accomplishment ceremony. They did not do that.
Gotcha.
That's what I mean by that. Briefly referring to them as the American League champions, that's not what I mean. I mean like a full acknowledgement of it. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And Keith Hernandez had a very intriguing criticism of Juan Soto, something I warned you about a year and a half ago. Before we get back to your phone calls, a lot of strong opinions on what banners should be hung at sporting events after your team wins. I remember when the Yankees traded for Juan Soto a year and a half ago, I gave you a warning. And that warning was not something I was going to feel, because I don't have this feeling. But I felt that Yankee fans would have this criticism of Juan Soto. And some did. And now Keith Hernandez has whipped out this criticism of Juan Soto. And I want to play the clip for you because Keith's very careful about it. And you can almost see doesn't really want to rip Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly brings up the criticism of, is he looking for too many walks?
Right.
So here was Keith Hernandez last night. It was early in the game. Gary Cohen is talking about the impressive resume Juan Soto has, his on-base percentage and all that. And Keith Hernandez said this about Juan Soto.
I know that Juan has the lead in the league in walks with 60, but I would love to see. He's that. I'm not asking to change him. I'd like to see him swing the bat more and less walks. But, you know, he's a guy that walks over 100 times a year, and he's got a great track record. He's got a wonderful resume.
It was almost like Keith didn't want to say it.
He started to say it, and then he was like, man,
I don't want to say this, but I've already started, so I got to say it. Let me be as tactful as I possibly can. And it still came off as, be quiet, just let him walk.
He kind of does. It's also, okay, so I've gotten to watch him now every day for how many games? 76 games? We watched him last year every day. Now, I watched it with a different eye watch in the Yankees. I'm an IBO. Mm-hmm. With a Met fan, as a Met fan, my emotion is fully into it. So right. I acknowledge.
Because you wanted to get a hit.
Right, and I'm living and dying on every play.
Right.
I'm watching the Yankees. I'm watching them a lot, but I'm also much more like matter of fact. My wife likes to joke about that. She uses it in football. She said, you watch the Jets, you lose your mind. You watch the Giants, you're very like very matter of fact. Like, oh, pick six. Okay. She loves that. I have never gotten the impression, watching Juan Soto, that he's looking to walk.
He's just okay. Walking.
He has an arrogance, and this is a compliment, not a negative arrogance, of I'm going to swing at the pitch I want to swing at. I know the strike zone better than you. I will lay off pitches that are close, mm-hmm. and I will gladly take my walks. And if I get a pitch to hit, I'll hit the crap out of it. And if I don't, I'll take my walks.
Right.
And to me, that's different than what Chris Russo used to say about Wade Boggs. I'll never forget. It was my introduction to sports talk radio as a kid. I remember him ranting, and I wish I could find it because I would love to play it as a WFN flashback. But it was Dog saying, every time about this Wade Boggs, all he's doing is looking for walks. He's looking for it. I don't think Juan Soto looks for walks. I think he's just a really, really patient hitter. So it's funny listening to that clip because Keith's about to kind of criticize him, mm-hmm. and then he stops.
Well,
but I kind of disagree.
Well, you should disagree, especially with Pete Alonso behind him. And so, I mean, say for, you know, the whatever, last night with the fly ball to right center. But still, it's like he feels like the walk to him is as good as a hit, and it gives whoever's behind him like a great opportunity. Now, is that great baseball all the time, especially when you need a hit and you need to score a run? Probably not, but it's fundamentally the right play.
But also, is it great baseball to expand your strike zone more than you're comfortable with just because, well, I don't trust the guy behind me?
No, because when you do that, you end up chasing.
Right.
And I think he doesn't want to ever fall into the habit of chasing. You see Aaron Judge get into this trouble sometimes where he hasn't gotten a hit in a while. Sometimes he'll see that whatever slider or whatever it is going out of the zone, sweeper, and he wants to chase it. And sometimes he just can't help himself. Juan Soto doesn't want to do that.
And you would agree that even if Pete was struggling, because Pete's had a really good year for the most part.
Right.
Even if Pete was struggling, you would stand by Soto should remain with the same approach, correct?
You got to be you.
I agree.
You got to be you.
I completely agree. So when I heard Keith say that, who I have the ultimate respect for him, you talk about a guy that played the game and played it at a high level, I'm listening to him because I really respect the hell out of him, and I'm like, I don't feel that way about Juan Soto. I don't feel he needs to swing more.
He's probably right as a teammate. A teammate will probably think the same thing. We need a hit here, Juan. We need a hit. Okay, you got to walk. That's fine. But there's like a little disappointment in it because you know how good he is.
Yeah.
Of putting bat on ball. He also is not going to let a pitcher off the hook. This goes back to the Volpe thing the other night, swinging on the first pitch in the extra innings. It's like you let the pitcher off the hook
right,
by not forcing him to throw you strikes. Now, that slider happened to be a strike to Volpe, but you know what I mean. Like Juan Soto is going to make you get him out. He's not going to like let you off easily.
I agree. I don't really want to see him swing more. I want him to be him. Mm-hmm. And that involves getting on base 42% of the time. That involves drawing an awful lot of walks. That also involves driving a bunch of runs in. There was a game, I think it was the Friday night game against Tampa Bay, which began this losing streak, mm-hmm. where Soto actually drew a bases loaded walk. And unfortunately, while it scored a run, Pete Alonso struck out, and the next hitter, I forget who it was, I think it was Jeff McNeil, flied out to left field. And so the inning started to kind of go sideways. I never once thought, boy, that damn Juan Soto, he should have been more aggressive. No, right. I mean, baseball's the ultimate team game. So you are going to need your teammates to hit. But I thought that was funny last night because he was starting to rip Juan and almost hesitated because he's like, I don't know.
I don't want to say this.
I don't know if I actually do want to say this. But I haven't gotten that feeling about Juan Soto.
I don't think he was. I think he was trying to give him like constructive criticism. And then in the back of his mind, he went, oh, boy, this might sound like right. I'm criticizing him.
Right.
Let me walk that back. But I'm surprised. I would think Keith would like the Juan Soto approach. Like, the reason he is Juan Soto is because he is patient and he doesn't give in. We saw it opening day. He swung at a pitch probably because he was like, it's my first day on a new team. Mm-hmm. I'm in a big spot. And Hader threw the ball basically in the third row, and he swung at it. Mm. You want that Juan Soto every day?
No.
Play within the confines of what makes him great.
I want him to be him. Like, when he draws a lot of his walks, as a fan, I'm excited because they got more base runners.
Right.
Now, does that put pressure on Pete and Jeff McNeil and anyone else who's sitting behind them? Of course. And do the Mets need more production at the bottom third of their order? Absolutely. But I also want Juan Soto to get on base because, you know what? This is a stat that may frustrate Sean. He doesn't like stats. The more times you get guys on base, the greater chances are you're going to score that guy.
That's going to frustrate me.
It's simple math. It's very much, you get on base, you have a better chance to score runs.
And you have a better chance.
But you didn't know that, Sean.
No, I knew
that.
Did
you know that?
But here's how else you score runs. When those guys are on base and the pitcher starts feeling a little pressure, then you make them work and you take a first pitch. That will also lead to more runs scored.
Yeah, but sometimes the first pitch you get is the best pitch you're going to get.
Yeah, unless it's a slider and you're hitting 111 versus Amolia.
First of all, the slider was not even off the plate. It was right there in the middle of the zone, and Anthony Volpe missed it. Are we still arguing about this?
It was a slider.
Yeah, and you know what his batting average is when he swings at first pitch sliders? 4-for-10.
When he puts it in play, when he swings and misses, that doesn't count as the average.
Well, that's how stouts are calculated.
Stouts or stats?
Stats are calculated based on the ball being put in play. How could there be a stat if he swings and misses or fouls the ball off?
Are you still arguing something you're wrong on?
I'm not wrong. I feel very good about this. I feel very confident about Volpe swinging at the first pitch.
I feel very sorry for you.
Why?
Because you're wrong and you're still 2 days late. It's getting sad now.
When you saw people in the streets and they called you Tommy Lugauer at first, and then they corrected themselves and they realized that you're Sean.
Well, they called me Chris McMonagle second.
Do they really?
No.
You get a lot of Big Macs? Were people agreeing with you in the streets or disagreeing with you in the streets?
I got a hero's welcome on the Long Island Railroad yesterday.
Off of the Volpe argument?
Yeah, please, enough with Evan. I thought he was Mr. Baseball. He's lost something on his fastball.
Wow.
Greg ruined him. I get a lot of that.
I've got a lot of that, too. Yeah, I could tell by his eye movement, none of that actually happened.
Of course not. I put my headphones on, a hood up. And I'm trying to eat more.
Of course. Let's go to John in Bergen County. Hey, John.
I spoke to you yesterday. I forgot to get one point in. You know, one thing I did, I coached a lot. My kids, and you know, I had a lot of championship teams, and I had a lot of kids with like attitudes and players with attitudes, and they loved their position when they were at bat. They would come up to me to be before the game and say, "Am I leading off today? Am I batting cleanup? Am I the third hitter?
All right.
Where am I batting today? You know?" And I talked to my kid. And my kid said, you know, I loved I was batting second. Bobby was right behind me. You know, when you're going into a game, like what did you say earlier, Tiki?
Yeah.
When did the Mets start railing? When did they rail last year? When Lindor went to leadoff.
Right.
Lindor knew he was going to lead off every game.
Oh, so your point is guys benefit from knowing where they're hitting?
Yeah, and raising the...
That's right.
Yeah, right, knowing the expectation.
Oh,
so it's interesting because we kind of had that conversation with Volpe for the brief moment last year when he went to the leadoff spot, and he actually hit.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you put him in a position where he's not back in the lineup, where the expectation is just don't screw it up too badly. It was, we need you on base. He responded.
Right.
And then he fell apart. And so he's right. John's right. But you also have to be good at it.
Yeah.
Francisco Lindor is good at leading off.
I also don't know if he's referring to his kids coaching high school or Little League or whatever it is. I'm not sure if the modern major leaguer needs to know where they're batting in the batting order. Like, I heard Aaron Judge, I've heard Juan Soto, I've heard Lindor, I've heard Pete all say this. They don't care.
Well,
they don't need to know where they're batting.
They have a preference.
They have a preference, but they don't think it changes their performance based on if they're going from 2 to 3. Like, Aaron Judge this season is fascinating. Because Aaron Judge has batted in 2 slots in the order all year long. He's been jerked back and forth between 2 and 3, 2 and 3, 2 and 3. Do you really think it makes any damn difference? Has it made any damn difference? Like, if we analyze the numbers of Aaron Judge this year, do you think we're going to see a difference?
I doubt it. He's been too good for it to have made any difference.
I'm actually going to look it up now.
Yeah. I mean, you could, but it's just...
It's not going to mean anything, because it's all going to be awesome numbers, right? Is that your prediction?
That's going to be my guess.
I mean, I would assume so as well.
Even though the last couple of games he's been in the two-hole has not been great.
Here is the statistics. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
They're both awesome, by the way. As a two-place hitter batting second, he has started 37 games batting second, 34 games batting third. So it is basically
split. What you said.
It's
2-3, 2-3, 2-3.
That's what they've done all year. When batting second, he's hitting 392 with a 1,140 OPS. When batting third, he's hitting 350 with a 1,302 OPS. You know what's interesting? He basically has the same amount of plate appearances. It's only separated by 20.
Yeah.
When he bats second, he only has 9 home runs, but a higher batting average. When he bats third, he has 17 home runs with a lower batting average. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Nothing.
I'm being honest. It doesn't mean anything.
How many RBIs?
25 while batting second, 35 while batting third, which makes sense. You're going to have more guys up.
Look, there's somebody on base.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the pitcher has to pitch to you to an extent. I mean, you could unless the base.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hoping you could walk him, but for whatever reason, managers aren't doing that except for Ron Johnson. So I feel like Aaron Judge in the three hole, more likely to have guys on base. You're going to get extra base hits or home runs.
But I'll tell you something interesting, which is why you want your better hitters batting second. When he bats second, he's played 37 games. When he's batted third, it's 34 games. Only a three-game difference. 21 more times to the plate while batting second, which shows you get up more. Very simple. Not an analytic.
Yeah.
Just a number. The higher you bat in the batting order, the more times you're going to hit. Would you rather Aaron Judge hit more or hit less?
Definitely more.
Oh, that's crazy. You want to see him hit more?
Of course.
Do you want to see him hit more, Sean? Then he should be batting second or first, actually.
He should be batting first, actually.
Then he'll get up even more.
I know, and I understand that the numbers tell you he
gets up. You thought I was going a long way to say he should lead off?
But he has more RBIs batting third.
That's my point.
He'll get more RBI opportunities that way, absolutely.
Yeah, not every at-bat is created equal, which is my point.
I understand. Look, it's a trade-off, right? Like, I understand that you are likelier to get more RBI opportunities batting third than batting second. But you're also just going to flat out get up more when batting second. So which do you prefer? It's a fair question.
Yeah, I'm okay with second. I'm not okay with first. I think it's a nice little middle ground between RBI opportunity and at-bat.
Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
Evan, Tiki,
here we are another week, a week out from the draft. But Evan, before I get to a few things here, before you start wanting banners for wild cards, can I just ask that you don't ask for Alonzo Avenue or Lindor Lane or Soto Street after they're announced as all-star starters? I mean, just slow down. I think those season tickets at MSG has got you a little lost here, because there is no way the participation trophy in the street sign era can come to Queens. Let that stay in Manhattan, okay?
Fair enough. By the way, I've done some research on this.
Why is
Tommy
taking shrapnel right now?
Well, because he's a Knicks fan. You have to deal with that. I did some research, Kendrick. I needed to know, where are the street signs? It's a great question. Has anyone asked that question? Where are the street signs?
Oh, I've been following not only the street sign profits, as I like to call them, because the city made some money, because I feel like the Knicks paid for them to go up and they paid for them to come down.
I think
they're probably in some abandoned lot and who knows where in the city.
You are partially right. The Knicks paid for them to go up, paid for them to come down. The New York Knicks are currently in possession of the street signs, and I am negotiating with people at Madison Square Garden. I want Jalen Brunson Boulevard so I can give it to my dear friend, Tommy Lugauer.
Wow.
I'm working on it, Tommy.
Well, not as a gift. No, he's not. He's not a good man. He's not giving it to me as a sign of friendship or a thank you for all the years of service or whatever. You're doing it to be a jerk, because it signifies, as Kendrick has brought up, that the Knicks should not have done that because they were putting the cart before the horse.
So you're saying I should do something else with the Jalen Brunson?
You should do nothing with it. You should not be in negotiations with the Garden. You shouldn't be in contact with the Garden. You shouldn't even have season tickets for the damn team if I had my way. You shouldn't be involved at all. And if you do get it, I don't want it.
Okay. I will give it to Sean, especially if Brunson is named King of New York City.
I don't want Sean in possession of it either, because I feel like he would do some, like, you know, put some bodily fluids on it or something. So I don't want that as well. Just don't get the sign. Just let it, get it out of your brain.
First of all, it is not soft enough material to do that. Second of all, Kendrick, I think that's a cool thing to have. I'd appreciate that, Evan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm working on it. Anyhow, Kendrick, I apologize. Continue.
No, I do think it belongs with someone in the coalition, Evan. And so if Sean or Tommy won't accept it, I will gladly take it into my house. But I do want to put Fanatics over here. I know you guys are doing the Fanatics Fest. And I'm going to suggest that all coalition members go to Fanatics right now. And you can look up, because as a coalition member, I purchased an Eastern Conference Finals t-shirt, because the street signs did come down, like you just said, Evan. So I want to make sure that Indiana doesn't buy all of those Eastern Conference Finals t-shirts after they lose the finals. I want to make sure we remember and commemorate the Eastern Conference Finals the right way. And I think, Evan, the way you talk about what you should wear to opposing teams' arenas, the Chase Bridge needs to have this shirt there. So I will send you the link on Twitter, but you need to purchase this for you, Sean, and all coalition members. Go out and grab it. Now, Evan, next week, are we going to have a Brooklyn Draft Dodgers party or what? And a few names for the Mets. So are you going out to the draft?
I'm going back and forth on it, because I'm thinking about going to the draft. The problem is the Mets are playing the Braves, so I think I'm going to stay home and kind of set up the multi-TV setup. So I got the Mets on one TV. I got the Brooklyn Draft Dodger. Did you call them the Brooklyn Draft Dodgers? Yeah. I thought they're the Knicks Draft Dodgers, because they dodge their draft things.
Exactly. It's probably the Draft Dodgers.
I gotcha. I'm probably going to stay home and
draft
be able
Dodger
to watch everything.
Draft Dodger acquirer, maybe?
Yeah, we're a Draft Dodger acquirer. I have such strong opinions about this draft right now. And thank you for the call, Kendrick. One thing is this. I am so curious about what the hell is happening right now. What is happening in terms of the Nets trying to trade up to number two? Is the clock working? Is the Nets clock?
Yep.
Can they actually acquire the services of Dylan Harper? Are the Spurs thinking about trading back out of two? Is that a possibility?
Well, what was the Nick Claxton thing we just heard?
That Nick Claxton could be involved in a Kevin Durant trade. Not that KD's come back to Brooklyn, but he would help facilitate a three-team trade.
What would the Nets get?
Draft picks.
And so you'd have now so stupid amount of draft picks, you can probably go to number two?
Or just move up. Yeah. The problem is, are the Spurs dumb enough to trade Kevin Durant? And then, or trade for Kevin Durant and move the number two overall pick when Dylan Harper is such a perfect fit for that team?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Get Kevin Durant.
Yeah. The Nets still in the league.
That'd be a dumb move.
By the way, speaking of Fanatics Fest on Friday, we already announced we're going to have Denny Hamlin and William Byron.
Is that true?
It is.
You got to tell me who those guys are so I can be prepared
NASCAR
for that
race
interview.
Drivers. Okay. They're great, by the way.
Okay.
We will also have our retired number, Alex Rodriguez.
The man from Milwaukee.
How about that?
Join us as well.
And you know what's so great about A-Rod coming on? And A-Rod joining us live at Fanatics Fest? Not only is it cool for the people that are there to see mm-hmm. Alex Rodriguez, what's even cooler is that Sean Morash brought A-Rod Day to WFAN. Mm. He loves A-Rod.
Does.
Well, on Friday, he's paying his dues for a bet he lost, and he's actually going to be dressed in orange and blue face paint. So when he finally gets to meet A-Rod and shake his hand and take a picture with him, he's going to be dressed up as basically a Mets mascot, which will make Alex feel very comfortable considering Alex did grow up as a Mets fan.
I can't do this.
Can't do what?
You can't back out of it.
Alex Rodriguez is one of my five favorite sports heroes of all time.
He'll be entertained.
I'm going to meet this man painted in Mets colors because I actually believed in this Met team.
Correct. Mm.
You can't do this to me.
What do you mean I can't do this
You're telling me that Alex Rodriguez, in person, for everybody who comes to see our show, Fanatics Fest, is going to arrive on scene.
And you've never met him.
And I've never met this man. I got his number retired. And I got to meet him, and he's not even going to know what I really look like. I'm going to be painted in orange and blue?
Yes.
How come? That's not it. No.
It's almost cruel.
What do you mean cruel?
hence the punishment angle here. He's being punished.
You're being punished.
This wasn't I believed in a team I didn't like, and now I got to meet one of my heroes like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, suck it up for once. I mean, deal with it. You shouldn't open your mouth. You were so confident that the Mets would run the table. The best part of this is that the Mets are likely going to stay in first place. They were only out of first place for about a half hour. You have to pay off the debt. You have to do it from Al, in front of Al from Miami. And then you're going to take the picture. You're going to look like Mr. Met in the photo, which is great. It's full circle.
It is
Alex
full circle.
Rodriguez, finally a Met.
Now,
yes. Evan, as you and I, because I love A-Rod, and I believe you do as well, can we take a photo with him? What's the photo protocol here as Met fans with Alex here? Because I love him. I just don't know how the Met fan community feels about A-Rod.
I don't believe
there's
in...
There's no animosity.
I don't think so, right?
Why would there be?
Just because we wanted him here. And
because
it feels...
he hit the pop-up that Luis Castillo couldn't call.
Well, that's on Louis, not A-Rod.
Tommy, right. You actually have common ground with A-Rod. You could ask him how Dante DiVincenzo's doing since, you know, he's his employee.
That's true.
Well,
not
that'll
quite
be...
yet. Not quite yet.
That'll be fun. We will be at Fanatics Fest on Friday doing our show starting at 2 o'clock. You just heard it. A-Rod will be there. We'll announce who the King of New York is. So it'll be a damn good time. Sean's got his Cinco list coming up. Plus, we'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And we'll set you up for a big night. The Yankees are trying to snap a losing streak. The Mets are trying to snap a losing streak.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.